Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com. Free Talk Live.
Welcome to Free Talk Live. Phones are open here. If you want to join the show, you can do that. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Here in the studio tonight, it's Ian.
It's Bonnie.
And Aria.
Lots of things, of course, in the news to talk about. Coming up here tonight, we will get into leg lengthening. Apparently, people want to make themselves taller.
Which is surprising. You know, I know there are a lot of surgical options out there to make someone feel better about their body, but there were some things that I just assumed would be beyond the possibilities of current medical technology. Like, I'm a trans woman. For those who aren't listening on radio may not be aware, my shoulders are broad.
Mm-hmm.
I would love some sort of, I wouldn't do it now, having had surgeries in the past, I know it's not worth it, but
yeah.
I would love for there to exist some shoulder narrowing surgery, but I mean, such a thing as like redesigning your entire body. At that point, it's easier to grow a new body and have your brain transplanted into it. So I would just assume that shoulder narrowing surgery and leg lengthening surgeries and things like that just are beyond current medical technology, but that doesn't seem to be the case.
Apparently not.
Yeah, I thought the same thing before I read this article, that I just didn't think that that was possible.
As long as you're willing to, you know, do some seriously invasive surgery, I mean, I guess things are possible. We can get into that coming up here in a little bit. But last week there was a story that I thought really was worth talking about, and one of these international stories of interest, and it's surprisingly uplifting considering where it's coming from, which is the so-called People's Republic of Communist China. And, of course, we did see some fairly good news coming out of China over the last several weeks, where there were major protests within the last couple of months there to go against the various different COVID restrictions. If you've been listening to the show, you know that China had what they called the quote-unquote zero COVID policy, and that's what led to Shanghai and other areas of China being locked down for months.
And it didn't. Billions of people locked down, or at least like hundreds of millions?
Yeah, millions of people for sure. I mean, just Shanghai alone was 25 million.
Yeah.
It didn't work.
No,
right.
Well, it didn't work because the numbers of COVID kept happening despite the fact that they were literally throwing people into quarantine camps, building tremendously large quarantine camps. I mean, this is one of the scariest parts is they have these quarantine camps now and they are able to use them for whatever reason they want to. So
I thought the thing with China was that the camps they had constructed were like very temporary, very rough, very thrown together, and within 10 or 15 days.
That's weird, though, because like I've heard stories since way before COVID-19 was a thing, like, I don't know, in 2015, from like conspiracy theory type places that were saying, like, what is this ghost town that China's government just constructed in the middle of nowhere? Like, why did they create? Why
I know
are
you're
they
talking
just
about the cities?
Using, yeah,
the full size cities.
Yeah, like whole bunches of apartments, and it's like.
Yeah, that was a really interesting thing. That was like what 7 or 8 years ago, or something like that. It seems like now at this point.
Why didn't they just use those?
Well, why did the U.S. construct mock villages and towns and cities? It was to test weapons.
Mm-hmm.
I suspect the Chinese government had the same reasons.
Well, the cities that they were talking about, if I recall, because we did cover them here on Free Talk Live, was like just central planning to the extreme. So essentially, China built cities expecting that they could like make them into something, sort of without any natural growth.
Some bureaucrat in China just had never played The Sims before and was like, "I'm going to play Sim City, but with like real
yeah.
people."
It
right.
seems like that is the government excuse, and the real reason would be more nefarious.
Could be. I don't know whatever became of those cities.
I wonder if they
no
did
idea.
Use them during COVID. Maybe we just didn't hear about it.
I don't know. Maybe they're still sitting there empty. I have no idea. But the cities weren't built like the COVID camps were for total monitoring, total lockdown. They literally just built cities expecting that, well, if you build it, they'll come, right? So, like, they figured they would turn these new...
It worked for Kevin Costner.
Which movie?
The one where they said, if you build it, they will come. What was the name of that movie?
I don't know what that's from, actually.
Was that the baseball one?
Yeah.
What was that where that quote came from?
Uh-huh. If you build it, they will come. But I cannot forget. That's it. Thank you. Yeah.
I haven't seen it
since I was like 4, maybe 5 years old. But yeah, that's definitely where that quote came from.
Well, it didn't work out, I don't think, for those cities. But that wasn't the story here. So, again, they had the COVID restrictions. They were the worst, at least that we were aware of, as far as worldwide, the Chinese COVID restrictions were the worst. We saw people jumping off their balconies from their apartment complexes, killing themselves.
If Americans are listening and don't know, this wasn't lockdowns like we had, oh, you're not allowed to go to work and blah, blah, blah. It was like they welded shut the apartment complexes and people died, like, from a fire starting and not being able to get out.
That happened more than once.
Things like that. And if you had to go to work, if you were essential, you couldn't go home. You could only go to work.
Some of these were so invasive and so extreme that they were using tamper-proof tape on people's refrigerators. And I don't remember the reasons why they did this, but they wanted to make sure that you hadn't opened your refrigerator or something. And they used actual tamper-proof tape to ensure that you, in your own apartment, did not have the audacity to open your fridge.
And, of course, they were going around with this chemical, whatever it was. I mean, I don't think they ever said what this stuff was, where they had these sprayers, and they would just walk down city streets. There was footage of them in the back of a truck just driving through, like, the woods, just spraying this stuff.
And weren't the people spraying it wearing hazmat suits? Or am I misremembering? I thought so, yes. Yeah, so you definitely want to breathe this stuff in, that the people... spraying or wearing hazmat
suits. They were spraying it right on people, too.
They were calling them the White Guards, kind of like the Red Guards, but now they're the White Guards. And so, essentially, they were police officers whose job it was to crack down on the people of China. And so, we saw pushback, finally. People, after months and months and months of this, in fact, some cities had re-lockdowns happen, right? So, Shanghai got locked down for most, like, 3 months in the springtime this year. They finally got let out, and then more cities were locked down later on in the year. And some people said, you know what, this is enough. We're getting out into the streets. If we can get out of our apartment complex, we're going out into the streets. And they did. And they did in enough numbers to where the central Chinese government, who, you know, many consider some of the most tyrannical, the most corrupt on the planet, certainly they get a lot of coverage because they're huge. There's obviously worse governments out there. We've talked about the Economic Freedom of the World Index. China is definitely at the bottom quarter of the pack, but they're not like as lowly ranked as, say, Venezuela or whatever. So
China's the evil one that gets a pass, though.
Well, I don't know if they get a pass, but they're big enough to where you hear more about what they do. And so we heard that Xi Jinping, the president, the current dictator president over there, decided to roll back the COVID restrictions. And so they no longer have a zero COVID policy. And the weird thing is, and we haven't covered this aspect of it, and I haven't even gotten to the fireworks ban, because that's what I really want to talk about, but just kind of recap what the year has been like, at least from the outside, right? We can only read stories from people who are reporting about what's going on in China. But he rolls back this COVID restriction, the zero COVID insanity. And there's this channel that I follow on Twitter called China Lockdown 2022, which has been one of those places they post the crazy, you know, lockdown videos of all the stuff that some of the stuff we've been talking about. And strangely, the tune of China lockdown seems to have changed in recent weeks. They've changed to showing like footage and images of corpses.
Huh.
The suggestion being that there's this big blow-up in COVID exposure and COVID deaths, like filling the hospitals, can't handle, you know, like the morgues can't handle it, there's bodies in the streets kind of thing, like this crazy stuff. Stuff like we never saw here. Like the media wanted you to think about what's happening in the United States. They really wanted you to imagine that this was happening, but there really was no evidence. Like in the U.S., they would have those sort of temporary hospitals that they would set up, or the temporary outside area.
They had one here at Kane.
Yeah, where like you could drive through and get a test or drive through and whatever. And no one went to these things. Very few people actually utilized these in the United States. China, they literally have apparently bodies lined up in the streets.
I mean, well, they tried that same nonsense here in the United States as well, showing us, you know, morgues that were just filled with bodies and trucks that were filled with rotting corpses. They did sort of try this in the United States, but it didn't seem to go anywhere. No one took it seriously.
Yeah, it didn't get any play. And so the weird thing is like this China lockdown channel seemed to be very anti-lockdown when I first started reading it, and now it's just constantly showing alleged evidence of massive COVID infections.
So they're just anti-Chinese government, and will post whatever makes the they will just take whatever position makes the Chinese government look bad.
Yeah, I mean that's one way you could see this, I suppose.
Or maybe they're just posting the things that are supposedly COVID deaths, but you're supposed to use your own critical thinking skills to imagine maybe there are other reasons for suddenly a bunch of people dying. You know, they could have destroyed everyone's microbiomes, spraying some weird thing all over everything. And
yeah, maybe they're
people
just
didn't
so
get enough sunlight.
Weak.
Yeah.
I mean, that's another good point, Bonnie, because maybe people's immune systems are so weak because they did lock down. You know, the people in China,
part of 2 years, right?
At least, yeah, especially with the zero COVID stuff in the last year. I mean, these people have been seriously more inside than anyone else in the United States has. That's for sure.
It's not just like a hippy dippy, like trendy word to say that your microbiome is destroyed, so you can't, your immune system is messed up. Because literally, your microbiome is more than your own cells as far as your immune system. Like the germs, quote unquote, that live in your intestine and the rest of the places they live in your body, they fight for your life more than any of you. Don't even have enough cells. If you didn't have any microbiome for an extended period of time, like, you would get a disease and you would probably die.
So being inside hurts that.
Yeah, and, you know, not exposing yourself to different people, different things, and also, you know, if they sprayed some kind of like disinfectant on everything, it would just be killing every germ it touched.
You know, it reminds me of what Ron Paul said at the very beginning of in 2020 when this thing started happening, when COVID was really scaring people and they were telling people to stay inside and, you know, don't have contact with people. And Ron Paul was saying that's the opposite of what you should be doing. You should be going outside. You should be getting sunlight. You should be interacting with people so your immune system stays strong. So maybe that's what's going on. Like, there's not a lot of context with the footage or the imagery of people allegedly, like, crowding into morgues, coffins, rows and rows of coffins, like, all kinds of
extreme
imagery that seems really, really intense. And so, you know, they're not coming right out and saying, bring back the lockdowns, but on the other hand, it's like, a lot of people would say that, right? Like, when, oh, see, you guys got rid of the lockdowns, and now everyone's dying, see? The lockdowns were working.
It's so just like, why wouldn't it be happening everywhere else on the planet where it's not locked down anymore?
Well, they get all of their news from the Chinese government. So if the Chinese government told them that this was happening everywhere around the world, then that's what most of these people would believe.
So in the midst of all of this footage of the coffins, I started to see footage of people firing off fireworks.
Curious. Why are they celebrating?
Well, this is the thing. So it wasn't a celebration. It was a protest. And so they're saying fireworks is a protest. And I thought, oh, this is cool. Without knowing, like, the details on what was actually going on, I'm seeing nighttime footage of people firing a ton of fireworks off into the air. There's footage of cars with mortars. People driving cars with other guys sitting, like, standing out of sunroofs, holding on to big fire. I mean, this is China, right? Like, they got no problem finding the best of the best epic level fireworks.
Well, aren't most of the fireworks used in the United States made in China?
That's my point. That's my point, right? Yeah. Like, there's a ton of fireworks in China, and they're cheap. So they got these bomb mortars.
I think they invented fireworks, if not, like, Japan or something.
Yeah.
Maybe
and
China.
So they have, like, humongous mortars that are firing off from moving cars. So as cars are, like, driving down the road, they're just shooting crazy fireworks out. I've never seen anything like this, right? Like, normally when you're doing fireworks, you set the mortar down, you light the thing, and you run the hell away.
Yeah, you don't want to typically do it in a moving vehicle.
Yeah,
that's generally. Holding on to it.
Holding the thing out of sunroof in a moving vehicle. Pretty wild stuff, right? And so I'm seeing the
they have more faith in Chinese craftsmanship than I do.
Yeah. So I'm seeing this footage. I'm like, what is going on here? I just thought this was part of the anti-COVID thing. I just figured this was, you know, the anti-COVID protests are still going, or the anti-lockdown right. protests are still going on, and now they brought fireworks in just because why the hell not? Well, no. As it turns out, after they undid the COVID lockdown, they decided they would go ahead and, well, you need to have the police to do something.
I guess.
So apparently there's now a nationwide ban on fireworks in cities, according to Radio Free Asia.
This seems strange. Did they just arbitrarily do this?
I don't know what their reason was, but if you live in a city and you're in China, apparently it is illegal.
Maybe people started shooting off fireworks in celebration that the lockdowns were over and they wanted to squash that.
Could be.
I mean, that's just a speculation.
But the Chinese people are not in the mood to obey right now. And that is what I love to see happen with these folks. They are openly defying these fireworks bans to the point where literally there's footage of police cruisers like rolling up on the scene, right? Like the cops are actively enforcing this. People are getting targeted. They're being arrested for shooting off fireworks.
Seems excessive.
In cities. And so kudos to these guys. According to the story here, crowds in the central Chinese province of Henan attacked and overturned a police vehicle late Monday, not today, but this was last week, while social media posts showed residents in other cities setting off fireworks in defiance of the orders. Revelers on Hung Daiwan Square in Henan's Lui County, quote, deliberately vandalized a police car, causing chaos at the scene, said police in a statement on the standoff, which it said took place at around 11 p.m. local time. Six people were arrested. Several video clips of the incident were uploaded to social media that showed people jumping onto a police car and another man in a Balenciaga jacket displaying the police car license plate that he'd ripped from the vehicle to the surrounding crowd.
I love it when governments around the world realize that it's not just democracies and republics that require the consent of the people. It doesn't matter how big your country is or how big your government is. If your people don't consent to it, there's not a whole lot you can do about it.
Yep.
If the Chinese people really want to revolt against the Chinese government's done. It doesn't matter how tyrannical they are, how oppressive they are. There's a billion and a half of them. You're done.
It happened in Canada, too, with the trucker protests. They had to roll back a lot of COVID restrictions.
And they acted like, oh, no. This has nothing to do with the trucker protests.
We just wanted to do it.
Yeah, we were going to do it anyway.
Yeah, China was going to do it anyway.
Sure, yeah. You believe that, right? But no, that's definitely the big takeaway here is even the most tyrannical governments of the world still rely on the quote-unquote consent of the governed.
Yep.
If enough people refuse to go along with the program, if enough people refuse to be locked down, if enough people refuse to obey the fireworks ban, if enough people refuse, you fill in the blank, whatever the government prohibition, whatever the thing is, if people are willing to go to jail for the thing that is being prohibited, if enough of them are willing to, they cannot enforce it. They simply don't have the jails. Now, that said, China certainly does have more jail space now in the form of these quarantine camps. If they wanted to, they could lock up all these fireworks people.
They've been doing it to the Uyghur Muslims for years.
That's true. So it's not to say that they couldn't, but they also risk alienating even more people, right?
I mean, that's exactly it. If they have a billion and a half population and they have a billion people or 500 million people protesting, which is more than they're ever going to get, but a third of their population, right? If they kill those 500 million or throw them in prison or whatever, they're just going to make very angry the other billion people. And if they do the worst and they kill 500 million people, they've got no one left to rule over.
Well, yeah, and you have no economy left. Right.
Well, yeah, there's the financial aspect of it, but the reality is that for a ruler to be a ruler, they have to have people to rule over. It does them no good to kill the entire population.
Yep.
And it seems like this would be obvious, right? But for some reason, it isn't.
The incident was sparked by police trying to enforce the fireworks ban, which led to some in the crowd to prevent the car, the police cruiser, from leaving, and others to throw drinks and start smashing it before the most visible protesters jumped onto the car and removed its license plates.
You can get not allowed to ever go into Canada for that.
For
standing in front of a cop car.
You're referring to me?
Yeah.
It took me a minute to realize what you're referring to as well. Well, he didn't jump on the car and remove his
leg. No, I didn't.
Although, that would have been funny. But
I would have probably been charged with a lot worse than obstructing government administration in that case. Later clip showed the police car overturned, according to the Twitter account Mr. Lee Is Not Your Teacher, which curates and reposts footage from incidents in mainland China to Twitter on the assumption they will be deleted or blocked by Chinese social media platforms. Jia Lingman, resident of Henan's provincial capital, Zhengzhou, said fireworks have been banned until the Lunar New Year, which starts later this month. But there were...
So it's a temporary ban?
I guess so.
Isn't like January the 20th the Lunar New Year?
Possibly, and this leads maybe some credence to Bonnie's theory that this may have been in relation to let's just stop people from celebrating the end of the COVID restrictions.
Yeah, instead they're going to let them celebrate, you know, the Lunar New Year, which is customary for China, as I understand it, and Asia in general, but it's certainly not a case of, oh, well, we want to make sure there are still fireworks for the New Year celebration, so
of fireworks.
Yeah, guys, don't hold off. There certainly wasn't that.
Plenty have been going off around the city on New Year's weekend. Quote, there have been sporadic fireworks going off in my neighborhood and the surrounding area. The ban will be lifted at some point during the Lunar New Year. Fireworks set off in defiance of the ban were also reported in other areas of the country. A political commentator said the fireworks were a deliberate act to defy the ban and came after people saw the government's response to the, quote, white paper, unquote, movement in late November against the strict antivirus measures. So, yes, they are saying here that one protest movement has led to the next.
This is how it happens.
Yes, so people are being emboldened by their success, and they're taking to the streets more often. And that's a great thing.
It is, and the more successes they have, the more people will take to this. Well, they go, oh, wait a minute, protest works. Okay, well, we're protesting this, we're protesting that.
And in a lot of cases, protests don't work, right? Like, your one-off protests, the politicians generally don't care about. Like, here in the United States, the old statement from the 1980s, there was this guy who worked for the Reagan administration. The name's not coming to me at the moment, but he was known for saying, let them protest so long as they pay their taxes.
Hmm.
Well, I mean, this is categorical in the United States. Look at all of the Black Lives Matter protests that happened in the last 10 years, and not a single thing changed anywhere.
Yeah.
And it's just because it was empty protesting saying, oh, we're not happy, and that's it. There was never any plan. There was never any action. It was just a statement of unhappiness, and that doesn't change anything.
Yeah, and maybe the...
one thing I thought was so weird when I went to the Black Lives Matter protests in San Antonio was, like, well, first of all, I've told this on the air before. I literally got an invite. I don't know if it was, like, text or something. And I don't remember who it was from that said, come to this thing. It's going to be an anti-cop protest and a vigil for George Floyd. And when I got there, everybody was talking about, like, nothing. Nobody was just, like, talking about anti-cop stuff that I wanted to talk about, you know? But we were all walking, more people than I've ever seen at once, walking down the streets of San Antonio, and everybody started chanting, I can't breathe. Like, what is that really accomplishing? It seemed like me and my friend weren't doing it because it seemed creepy.
We're going to continue to look at why do some protests work and others don't, and more on the fireworks ban.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you, too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from wallofire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Wallofire.com.
USA News Update. President Biden's in Mexico City for 2 days of meetings with the leaders of Mexico and Canada. First up, a one-on-one talk with Mexican President Obrador and the migration crisis. More than 100,000 California power customers are without power at this hour. Yet another big storm is slamming the coast. on Capitola Beach in central California. Reporter Marissa Parra is looking at an already devastated scene.
This is a sea of debris, and needless to say, this is not what this normally looks like. And what you have to remember is that this is all washed up from the last storm. This has been a place that has just been pummeled by rain over the last week.
Several areas of the coast are under evacuation orders. House members vote on new rules for the new session, among them formation of a committee to look into what conservatives call the weaponization of the federal government. Rich Johnson, USA News.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. ShopSuperT.com.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
Free Talk Live, and you can join the show here. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. You know, I remember when we were doing some what we call nightcaps here in Keene back in 2020, and I guess they also happened in 2021, but I was under house arrest at that point, so I couldn't attend most of them at that point. But in 2020, we went out and we violated the what they called in New Hampshire was not called a quote-unquote lockdown. It was the stay-at-home suggestion.
Yeah.
What, did they call that? I thought it was an order.
Stay-at-home order. It was an executive order, certainly.
Yeah. There was an order that was written about it, but it had all kinds of, like, loopholes and...
Yeah, the language was so weak in it that nothing we did... was ever illegal, and we never got bothered by any cops. And
we did get tickets one night for parking on Central
Square.
That's
right, yeah.
Whenever we challenged those tickets, they got dropped.
As tends to happen.
Yeah, and then there was one other ticketing that transpired, and that was when we were setting off fireworks in Central Square.
Well, when someone was setting off fireworks in Central Square.
Someone was. Of maybe more than one someone, but
perhaps
someone got caught for it in that case.
Well, someone got charged with it for it.
Well, no, the police were sitting there watching it happen. That's why they got charged. But, you know, we felt like we were pretty cool setting off fireworks in Central Square. But, boy, do we have nothing on these Chinese guys that are out there. So I just showed you guys some of the footage that is on the China Lockdown 2022 channel over the last several days.
On what, Telegram?
That's on Twitter. China Lock, or it's, their channel name is 2022_lockdown if you want to see it for yourself. This is like epic level stuff.
It's,
I mean,
really,
this is
crazy.
Amazing to watch.
I wasn't there for the fireworks thing there in Keene, but I can't imagine it was anything as spectacular. The best, one of the best fireworks shows I've seen was at Rogers Campground at Fork Fest.
Yeah.
But it, even that, which was, you know, paid for, it was set up by a guy who like did this for a living, and had nothing on the spectacles that we're seeing in these videos on Twitter.
No, it's pretty impressive what they were doing here. So we're sharing about the fireworks ban in China and the fact that people are about sick and tired of all these restrictions in China. They protested the COVID restrictions, and now this last week they've been out in the streets protesting the fireworks ban. According to the story here at Radio Free Asia, that's RFA.org, emboldened by the band here, the fireworks ban, political commentator Wang Jian said the fireworks were a deliberate act to defy the ban and came after people saw the government's response to the white paper movement in late November against strict antivirus measures. Quote, people across the country are violating the ban. Fireworks are banned in all cities, but are being set off everywhere. Spontaneous street protests across China in late November saw some people holding up blank sheets of printer paper and others repeating slogans calling for an end to the zero COVID policy. That's why they call it the white paper.
Yeah, what did it represent? Why?
I'm not clear on that. It was just something that could be done, right? Like, it's something that's easy to duplicate. Oh, just grab a sheet of paper and hold that up, and now you're part of our protest, right? Like, you don't have to go buy some flag or whatever.
I guess, but it has to have some sort of meaning.
It probably does. I just am not aware
We're gonna look into it.
What that is. So, according to the story here, they were calling for an end to the zero COVID policy, which they got. And they got in relative short order, and for Xi Jinping and the ruling Communist Party to step down and call elections, which they didn't get. While others held vigils for the victims of a lockdown fire in Xinjiang's regional capital, Urumqi. It's another revolution, said Wang, or at least passing on the torch lit by the white paper movement. The Chinese have learned that they can use protests to get what they want, which is a huge improvement on the way things were. So this comes back around to the discussion we were having before our bottom of the hour news break, and that is, what is the difference between a completely ineffective protest, which I would say 90%+ of protests are ineffective at changing things. I've always said that, you know, I support them as far as them being good networking occasions. You can get out there, you can meet people you've never met before, and then go, you know, do other things together into the future. So I'm not going to say they're worthless, but as far as getting the government to behave differently, it seems like most of them, at least in the United States, are completely useless. And Bonnie, you were talking about the Black Lives Matter as an example of this. So
there's so many people, and it could have been, you know, a lot bigger of a deal, but when I got there, it was just people basically saying that it was just like people saying, it was like kind of anti-white without anybody straight up saying it. Not anti-cops. Like, nobody was saying, I mean, it was just like, and I'm just getting that from some of the speakers. Like, people just went up and started, like, stood on top of cars and started talking, and they just started saying, like, oh, my whole life, as a minority, it's time to stop being oppressed. And I was just like, okay, but it's like nobody is talking about the cops here.
They missed the message.
They missed the message, and it seemed like it got, I thought that it was like taken over and twisted, because that's not what it was advertised as. And then there's people chanting in the streets, I can't breathe, and it just felt, to me and my friend who talked about it later, it seemed like ineffective. Like, what was that doing? Like, they were quoting, like, the last words or one of the last words of George Floyd, who had his neck stood on. It just doesn't seem, I don't know, I thought that there was...
It seemed very emotional, but not a good message,
no
not
one
a
had
clear
like a,
message.
No one had, like, a direction, and it wasn't directed at the cops enough. My sign was the only one that said, like, cops have no authority to rule over me, something like that.
Yeah, I agree with your interpretation, Bonnie, that it was taken over. And we saw that happen here in New Hampshire as well. And this can be one reason why protests in the United States have been such a failure, is that they are easily co-opted. And why that is, I don't know. Maybe it's because people are ultimately still too comfortable. And the people of China, they've had it. You know, they were starving. They're jumping out of their apartment complexes to their death because of these lockdowns. People are dying. Animals are dying in the streets because they're not being taken care of, things like that. So maybe people are just that upset and that dedicated to continue doing what they're doing, whereas
and
in the U.S.
it's just obvious what the enemy is. Here it's like less obvious because there was all this stuff that started getting put out on Instagram around the Black Lives Matter times. It was just like all white people are the problem. It's like, yeah, there's any race of people can be cops.
I mean, you're absolutely right. There is a bit of a misdirection going on in the United States entirely, and Black Lives Matter as an idea sort of represents that. The problem isn't that police kill black people. The problem is, and has always been, that police kill people, and they're unaccountable as they do it. And by focusing on this narrow segment of the population that's killed by police officers, yes, too many people killed by police officers are black, but there are too many people getting killed by police officers, period. So if we fix that problem, then we'll also, by default, fix the problem of them killing black people.
And you could have roped in so many more people if you'd had that message. So to the point of what you were saying about the co-opting, we saw it happen in 2011 with Occupy Wall Street. And one of the things Occupy Wall Street had was the longevity. They had something that wasn't just an overnight thing. Oh, we're going to be here one day, we're going to protest, and then we're going to go home. It was there for many, many days. In fact, I don't even remember. I feel like
it was
weeks, if not months.
Yeah, trust fund babies who lived off Starbucks for 3 weeks in Central Square, living on mommy and daddy's money.
But it wasn't long before the politicians showed up and started to act like they were always there. Same thing happened with the Tea Party, which was sort of the right-wing alternative or the white right-wing answer to Occupy, kind of happened at around the same time or shortly thereafter.
Yeah, wasn't like Ron Paul one of the primary catalysts in the creation of the Tea Party?
As I understand, he does get some credit for that. I'm not sure whether or not he did anything about it, but yeah, he's definitely his name gets mentioned along with it, but you know, once you showed up to the Tea Party after a little while, it became quite clear that this was an event that was just designed to publicize Republican politicians. And then you had all these coattail riders. There was this group of Republican politicians who called themselves "quote unquote" Ron Paul Republicans. So they were hitching their name to Ron Paul. This is, of course, right around the time when Ron Paul was running for president in 2012 for the last time. So
yeah, Michelle Bachmann and those types who sort of took over the Tea Party and sort of... It was very weird watching all of this happen as someone who wasn't terribly politically active at the time, but who was watching from the sidelines. It was very bizarre watching, like, Michelle Bachmann, one of them, in one of the presidential interviews, they asked Ron Paul, you know, Michelle Bachmann is now heading up the Tea Party that you helped found or whatever. Do you feel like she's eclipsed you? And he's like, what kind of question is that? Is she up here? No, I'm up here running for president. Clearly, Michelle Bachmann, she was one of these Glenn Beck Republicans. That's how I think of her, who created this large... You know that crazy meme with the guy smoking a cigarette with tacks and the wall behind him and strings connecting them, finding this is connected to that and that's connected to that. That's Michelle Bachmann, except she does that and everyone's ultimately linked to Al-Qaeda. Al-Qaeda, whatever. And she's got these large diagrams showing how Barack Obama was linked to Al-Qaeda. Just completely crazy Glenn Beck-style conspiracy lunatic.
Yeah, I haven't heard her name for 10 years.
Glenn Beck is like boring, dumb conspiracy. I like, you know, David Icke type crazy conspiracy theorist.
So they took over Occupy Wall Street. They took over the Tea Party. And then in 2020, they did the same thing with Black Lives Matter. And we saw it happen here in New Hampshire because I went to Keene Black Lives Matter, I went to Manchester Black Lives Matter, and I went to Nashville Black Lives Matter events. Nobody and I, our co-hosts, nobody went together to these events. And, you know, I did the best I could to document what was going on. I had my video camera and just wanted to see what people were saying. The Keene one was pretty good. It was organized locally by a guy who actually some of us know, somebody who actually came out to one of our nightcap events. He's a lefty in town, but
he's a nice guy.
He's somebody who is definitely not in favor of police violence and, you know, police militarization and things like that. And the speakers at Keene, which was the biggest rally I'd ever seen in Little Keene, New Hampshire, Central Square, bigger than the 420s a decade ago, like hundreds of people were in this little relatively small park. And so the speakers there were all very clearly anti-police power. And that was what the message was. And it was really good. I really appreciated it. In Manchester, it was pretty good. it was a larger event. Obviously, Manchester is a bigger city. The speakers weren't as good as, you know, I thought they were in Keene, but they were still largely anti-police. They didn't go to a racist place there or anything like that. And then what happened in Nashua, they went to a big park in Nashua, and they had like a stage, because everything else was just kind of in a park, somebody with a megaphone, you know, or like a PA system that they brought in. But in Nashua, they had like the government park where they had permission to be on the stage. And like that was kind of suspicious. And then they started talking. And the people they had talking at this one weren't just people who had been abused or by the system, or they knew somebody who their brother or whatever had been killed by the cops, or what you might have seen at the previous ones. This was like city councilor, the mayor of Nashua.
People whose opinions I don't care about.
People who control the cops and tell the cops to arrest peaceful people every day.
Yeah, a state senator, a state representative, the police chief himself was speaking at this event. And I said, you know what? This has jumped the shark. This thing is over. They have completely co-opted Black Lives Matter in New Hampshire at this point. And that was the end of it.
It sort of was. But I seem to recall not long after that, there was an additional Black Lives Matter protest in Keene, spearheaded by someone completely different. Mm. And they marched up and down Main Street with police escorts.
Oh, yeah.
I'd forgotten about this. I happened to be on Main Street at my job at the time.
You saw it happening.
And I saw this happening. And it just seemed so counter to everything the anti-police movement was supposed to be. Because don't get it twisted, people. Black Lives Matter is and has always been an anti-police abuse movement. It's been co-opted by... There's
some commies that are running the organization, but that's different from the movement, right?
And there's people out there who weaponize it in bad directions to take it to a racist place and stuff like that. But at its heart, it's a police accountability movement.
Mm-hmm.
For that movement to work so closely with the police in their protests, it's just not right. So that first protest, that was the organic grassroots one that we saw here in Keene. And then after that, the moneyed interests came in. I don't know who is responsible for doing this sort of thing, but some outside factors, some outside influence came in and changed the nature of the protest.
Sure did. So that's another great example of how the takeover happens. And this is, I think, why U.S. protests never have the staying power, like the Canadian truckers, like the folks in China that are protesting there right now, where they got what they wanted. The Canadian truckers got a roll back in the... I mean, they may not have gotten everything they wanted, right? Like, the Chinese people wanted to have Xi Jinping step down, right? Okay, you didn't do that. The Communist Party didn't say goodbye, but they did undo the COVID restrictions. So they got something.
It's because in the United States, the media is so controlled and in lockstep with everything the government wants them to say.
But that's true in China. The Chinese media is state-run.
Yeah, but at this point, they realize who the enemy is, and they're not going to listen to that, like, openly government-operated media. They're past the pushing point. But here it's, like, more hidden. The common person doesn't even know about the Twitter files and things like that. Maybe not the common person, but I would say, like, more people don't know about, you know, media corruption than do, or care. They just don't care.
Sure, or media appears to be independent in the United States when it, in fact, is not.
If some really good protests started out, and then they hear on the news, oh, this is just racist supremacists, then those people are going to be like, oh, I'm not interested in that anymore just because they heard it on the news. Maybe in China, they're just not caring what the news says anymore because they're like, that's what the government says.
My loose hypothesis, having just come up with this, I don't know if it's true or not, I haven't put a great deal of thought into it, is the reality that the United States has been a quote, democracy longer than most other countries have even existed. Well, have been democracy, certainly, but the United States has been accountable to the concept of protests since it was founded. So it has learned, it's got 2 centuries plus of history of how to deal with protests and completely neuter them to keep them from being affected. Because that's what the government wants. They don't care if you protest, as long as they have a way to keep it from having any sort of impact. And I suspect the United States government, the shadowy figure behind it, they have figured out how to control protests.
Yeah.
And we have the CIA and FBI that could just throw some person into a crowd and make them, you know, change what the protest is about from the inside. I wonder if, I don't know, does China have the same type of stuff?
They're probably willing 200 years. Yeah. Well, the concept of protest is probably relatively new to China and the Chinese government.
That's a good point. I mean, the last time... Well, right. And the last time they really had a big protest there was Tiananmen Square in the late 1980s. Was it 1989 or 1988? Something like that. And, of course, they've erased all memory of Tiananmen Square within China. You're not allowed to talk about it. You're not allowed to do a Google search of it. And they were saying that these white, what they call the white paper movement protests, the anti-COVID lockdown movement, were the largest protests since Tiananmen Square. So, yeah, it may have been 33 years since they actually had a significant protest movement.
You make another really good point. Maybe it's just desensitized for Americans. I mean, Americans protest every damn little thing. Americans have been protesting for the better part of 200 years.
Oh, you don't like a drag show? Go protest.
Yeah, they protest constantly. So when the American government sees a protest, they're like, oh, they're at it again.
Ho-hum.
Yeah, well, and the sun rose today.
Yeah.
So maybe in China that doesn't happen. So they see a protest and go, oh, crap. But the American government's like, yep, we saw what are you protesting this time? Okay, that one-ply toilet paper? Okay, yesterday it was this other thing.
That's a good theory. So here's a little bit more from Radio Free Asia about what has morphed from a anti-lockdown protest successful into now an anti-fireworks ban protest. So there's a fireworks ban in Chinese cities, at least through the Chinese New Year. In another clip posted to Twitter by constitutional scholar Zhang Lefan, a young woman is shown setting off rockets using a launch tube in the northern port city of Tianjin. Quote, the police came to stop them, but they didn't listen, and everyone set them off, he commented. So are you going to do anything? Reads the text added to the video. No, because you can't do anything. There are fireworks going off everywhere, and I think that's an intent. They're saying that to the government, right?
Well,
like they're saying, we have so many people doing this, you don't have enough cops to stop us.
That's so cool.
Hainan Current Affairs commentator Li Fatian said Hainan is part of a part of China that likes traditional celebrations and we're likely letting off steam after 3 years of rolling lockdowns, mass tracking, and compulsory testing under Communist Party leader Xi Jinping's zero COVID policy. Quote, zero COVID went on for 3 years, so it's pretty clear that the lockdowns across the country, large-scale unemployment, and the inhumane enforcement methods of recent years have caused a lot of anxiety and shortness of temper. He said further, there's a lot of hostility in society. He also said that...
Directed at the government that caused this, man.
In the right place.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what they're doing.
3 years of, you know, these COVID lockdowns, that's insane.
He said further, now the government suddenly removes all restrictions, and people still fear dying from this virus, so maybe they need to do this as a way of venting, he said, adding that more protests are likely in the coming year. He says, we've reached what you might call...
Is he trying to say that because people are afraid of getting COVID without zero COVID policies that they're protesting? Because that seems like a silly spin.
Wait, say that again?
Is he trying to say, just read the last sentence again, is he trying to say, oh, people are protesting with these fireworks because, well, there's no more zero COVID and people are getting COVID, so they're mad about that, they're venting about that.
I think some of them are probably still afraid. I mean, if you look at the propaganda going on now with all of the people dying allegedly from COVID now in China, who knows whether that's true or not.
My point is just this reporter or whatever seems to be trying to say that that's why they're doing the fireworks, and it just doesn't seem likely to me.
Well, if they were I agree. If they were terrified of COVID-19 and the possibility
they wouldn't be outside,
right?
Yeah,
they wouldn't be around.
And why would they be doing anything to fly in the face of the government? They'd be like, people need to listen to the government, you know, something like that. You know, seems.
He said we've reached what you might call a tipping point. In Nanjing, people let fly balloons in the eastern city of Nanjing on New Year's Eve, where a large crowd gathered around the bronze statue of the 1911 revolutionary leader Sun Yat-sen to release balloons in honor of his memory. I'm not sure why they're telling us about balloons in this story, but that's basically that. Oh, somebody else says there's a sea change in people's hearts with this commemoration. When the Chinese Communist Party can no longer guarantee that everyone's life will improve nor guarantee a livelihood to many people, then people will start to challenge it, because what right does it have to remove your political rights? He said further, the Communist Party has broken the social contract, so they don't have to obey it anymore.
Nice.
Now, of course, we all know there is no such thing as a social contract. It's a bunch of malarkey.
Yeah, but if they have a social contract that requires their government to uphold part of an agreement, I could see with that. Like the U.S.
I guarantee
Constitution.
They don't have a social contract.
No.
That doesn't exist.
Sadly.
No chance.
I think she means, like, if they believe that they have a social contract, oh, the government's going to take care of us. That's why we have communism. And then the government's not doing the thing that they're supposed to do because communism is supposed to give everyone free blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm. And now you don't
and
have
now
a job.
You even have that. Yeah. Then they're going to start to wake up to the idea that, wait, these people aren't doing their end of what they're supposed to be doing. Why do we have to listen to them?
I mean, that's sort of what we have in the United States with the non-existent social contract, right? It's people who, well, the police have an obligation to come out and help and support it. The other night at my job, one of my coworkers says something, oh, you know, you should have sued the city of whatever city they were talking about for what their police said. They failed to interfere. They failed to do something. It was one of those things where I can imagine, you know, 20-year-old me saying, yeah, the police absolutely should have helped. They should have done something. And this guy was like, yeah, this person should have sued the city for that. And me now, I know the police had absolutely no obligation to do anything about it. There's no lawsuit there because the police, this entire apparatus that we have built up here, the United States government isn't upholding its side of the agreement. And Americans are completely delusional about it. So even if they believe in this social contract, they're not recognizing the reality that the American government hasn't been upholding its part of the social contract in ever.
Let's go to the phones here. Caller, you're on the air on Free Talk Live. What's your name?
Hey, guys. This is Ryan Summers.
Ryan, you're on the air. What's on your mind tonight?
Hey, well, I'm about to drop. I don't know if you guys remember. I'm the one that had the altercation with Trump with the banana peel that I called you guys about a year ago.
You're going to have to refresh us on that one. What happened with banana peel and Trump?
Well, that was a long time ago, about a year and a half ago. I actually don't think any of you were working. But I just found the evidence that puts all of the Epstein Maxwell Ranch people from my high school, Valley High School in Albuquerque, New Mexico, all together with Donald Trump, mostly Ivana Trump, and Jared Kushner were at this party.
All right, Ryan, I want you to tell us more about this, but hang on, okay? We're going to continue with your call here in just a few moments. And then we've got an update on the Chinese fireworks ban situation. So we just gave you the details on the fact that there's a ban on Chinese fireworks, setting them off within cities across the country. But after massive protests were happening over the last week, guess what? Some cities, not all of them, have now lifted the fireworks bans. So this protest already is bearing fruit after just 1 week. There's more coming up here in moments. It is Free Talk Live.
If you're like most Americans, you can see things are out of control. Global problems have local consequences, too many of them. And if the next news headline spins us into chaos, you'd better be ready. Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Today's the day to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. As we all know, calories equals energy equals survival. And as you'd expect from a true preparedness company, our food kits are in stock and ship quickly. Those who know what's coming are preparing today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Have you heard the warning from the dead doctors don't lie guy? I'm talking about Dr. Joel Wallach. He says if you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol or high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, or other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. That's what he says. He has a free lecture revealing what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in his free lecture called Deadly Recipe. You want it free? Call him toll free at 855-79-YOUNG. You ready? 855-79-YOUNG. Dr. Joel Wallach, the dead doctors don't lie guy, says there's no reason why we shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there.